This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
Did you see the manager for the German team?
Yes.
He was reaching into his pants for some grit and grind, and then the delayed sniff.
Like, what are you looking for?
I think a
cologne-type scent?
On TSN 1050, making your drive home a lot more fun.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, and Scott MacArthur. Noodles is out in PEI for a couple of days. He'll be back on Thursday. Stamkos watch continues, even though no one knows what they're watching or what they're looking for. No one has a clue what's going on with this guy.
Just lots of family, friends, rumors. I know a guy that has a cousin that knows his dad that said he's moved his stuff out of his apartment.
Who I'm connected to with on LinkedIn.
Yes.
Somehow that guy will be right. Like, one of these rumors are right. Someone's got the right information.
Well, you can line five guys up. One will tell you he's staying in Tampa. One will tell you he's going to Detroit, another Buffalo, another Montreal, another Toronto. They got 20% chance, probably.
Well, do you think this is happening in all those other cities?
No.
Or is this exclusive to Toronto? Because he's from here, so you can actually conceivably believe some guy's cousin works with his mom or whatever. Like, that can't really happen in Detroit. Or Buffalo.
No.
So we have exclusivity over the ridiculous rumor mill here in Toronto.
He could have some American third cousins, though.
Maybe. Although, I guess Tampa, there are some rumors already coming up from Tampa that have made their way up here somehow. So take that for what it's worth. The TSN 1050 Free Agent Frenzy coverage is presented in part by Olfa, the best-made cutting tools in the world. Get the Olfa Edge. The Milan Lucic news is out there. Like, people are reporting on that. He's not being so guarded. He was in Vancouver yesterday meeting with the team. Apparently ownership was involved in that courtship. And then he was in Edmonton today. And now a lot of people are believing he's going to end up in Edmonton. Milan Lucic will sign a long-term deal in Edmonton, and I like Milan Lucic a lot. It's starting to feel very David Clarkson-y for me. Very Clarkson-y for me. Someone's going to overpay, overextend, and get burned here. I don't have any doubt about it.
Well, it might not be. You're getting burned eventually. When you're a big man like that, he does move fairly well. He gets around the ice, but you've seen these guys in the league. They get to 29, 30. And then you're looking at it. I mean, if you talk to anybody from L.A., it was like, we liked him at 2 or 3 years, but after that, it's like, what happens?
Exactly. And he's a much better player than Clarkson, but they play a similar game, right? They can chip in with offense, but they'll play physical. They can play an intimidating game. They'll fight if they have to.
You have to remember, you might be paying $6 million for 2020.
Right.
20 goals, 20 assists.
Exactly.
You put him with McDavid, maybe he can get you 30-30, but that's what you're paying $6 million for.
And he's not doing that over 7 years. But I feel like Vancouver and Edmonton, there's pressure on both teams to make something happen, and they may end up in a bidding war, and Lucic will benefit from it greatly. But whoever gets him in the end, it'd be a lot like Clarkson. At some point, you're going to look at this and say, how did this team give him 7 years at $6.5 million?
What's old in the NHL now? What would you consider to be old?
It's getting to the point where it's 28.
And the amazing thing is pre-04-05 lockout, you weren't a free agent until you were 31.
And then you
signed Ronnie
paid.
Francis to a 5-year deal when he was 35.
And it was worth it, probably.
Yeah.
Probably made sense.
Yeah. And he got one more year after that when he was done.
Right. But if that's the case, if it's 28, Stamkos will be 27 next year. If he's old 2 years into this new deal, I mean, you got to be careful with that as well.
See, that's the thing. Like, I've thought to myself, if you're giving Stamkos 7 years, he's going to be 31, 32, 33 toward the end of this. Do you want to be paying a winger $10 or $11 million 6 years from now?
I know. These are all debates that are worthy of having, and you know all these teams are having them. Someone's going to bite the bullet. It might be here in Toronto, could be in Tampa, could be in Detroit. Let's bring in our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray, we were just talking about the differences in terms of what's going on with Stamkos and what's going on with Lucic. We know where Lucic is, who he's meeting with. We have no idea what's going on behind the scenes with Stamkos. But Lucic was in Edmonton today. A lot of rumors circulating that that's where he's going to end up. And I just made the statement, this is starting to feel David Clarkson-y to me. Very Clarkson-y to me, that there are going to be a couple of desperate teams that get into a bidding war and someone's going to pay him too much and give him too much term and get burned in the end. Can you draw the comparisons?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I'll tell you, I'd give Don Meehan my bank code because they have not uttered one word, it seems like, of what Stamkos is even thinking. Lucic went for dinner last night. It was on the radio today here. What restaurant he was, just short of what he ordered. It was, they said what restaurant he was in, who was there. The mayor stopped by. Then he went to Edmonton, and everybody knows where he went for lunch in Edmonton. Like, it's all out in the open. I guess the difference is, you know, Stamkos can set up shop, and the teams will come to them. The Lucic deal, I guess, same with David Backes, Troy Brouwer as well. I guess I would worry that is a power forward still a power forward at age 34, or is he a really big guy that doesn't quite skate as well? I don't have that worry for Stamkos as much.
No, very different styles, very different games. But Scotty Mack just posed that question. Like, what is that age limit now in the NHL that would be considered old? Do you have a number in mind that screams 35-ish, old?
35.
Really?
35-6, yeah.
Still that high for you?
Yes, it is. For a guy like Stamkos, it is, Brian, because, I mean, the guy is has always been, you know, over the last, I don't even know how many years, you could say he's been a workout fiend. He's in, you know, he's in unbelievable shape, which not all guys are, even though we say most guys are. That means some aren't. That won't be a concern for him. He can really skate. So if he loses a half a stride, he's still going to be able to skate. He can shoot the puck like very few others. You know, the power guys, their game is body and ability to get to the forecheck and to separate defensemen from puck. Stamkos isn't like that. That's not what he does. If he becomes a little bit of a one-trick pony towards the end of the deal, the problem will still be the same as the problem will be tomorrow, and that's, can you survive with a cap hit eating up a gigantic portion of your total cap? And I don't know. I mean, Chicago last year, the first year they had to deal with the $10 million hit for Kane and Taves. And they're pitching guys all over the place overboard. You know, out goes Andrew Shaw. Now they got to try and fill Andrew Shaw's spot. Can you win paying somebody $10 or $11 million?
Well, it hasn't been proven that you can, because Chicago won before that money showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And L.A. won before the money really showed up. I think you can with one guy. When you have two or three, you're really asking for trouble. And let's not forget, the cap will continue to go up. It's not going to go up exponentially, but over the course of the next 7 or 8 years, you would expect it'll go up $2 or $3 million per year. So by the end of it,
you would think a Canadian team will make the playoffs eventually, which will help, don't you think?
Exactly. And the Canadian dollar will likely start moving back up at some point, which would affect everything. But you know, now there's reports and rumors, and I know Eisenman was talking about it over the weekend, the idea of a sign-and-trade. I'm not sure I would want to go down that road if I was the Maple Leafs, because then you have to make it an 8-year deal. I would rather just say, no, we're going to cap at 7. We'll meet you on July 1st. Like, we've gone this far. We're not going to hook up Tampa with an asset if we don't feel like we have to. And we have to put our stake in the ground, and we're going to stick to 7 years. I don't see them doing it. I don't think it makes a lot of sense if you've gone this far. Like, why do a sign and trade now?
Because perhaps Stamkos' camp has said, we're only signing an 8-year deal. If you want my client, we can work out a deal with Tampa. You work out the player that you got to send back, but he wants an eight-year deal. Because until July 1st, that's the, you know, that's the trump card that Tampa has. Now, one of the other things that I think we, you know, but I'm with you. Why give up an asset if you don't have to? Problem is, you might have to give up an asset for a year that you don't really want to get Stamkos anyway. Right? Like, you may only want him for 7 years, but you got to pay him eight. Teams, that we're well aware, teams do this all the time because every year around this time we hear, oh, they've just got to move the contract. Well, the contract is one that they gave out to a player that they no longer want to pay. It's happened time and time again. But there's one thing I think we should consider here is that the one thing that Stamkos has is this ability to go and look around and talk to everybody. He can only get formal offers. He can talk in ballparks, but he can only get formal offers on July 1st. When he gets those offers, the one trump card Tampa has still is that they have no state tax. And over a seven-year contract, if the difference is over $1 million a year or $1.5 million a year, it's $10.5 million, and you can almost wipe most of that out with state tax or provincial tax. And maybe that's the one trump card that Tampa still has in their pocket.
Well, that's a good point. And there was a piece in the Tampa Bay Tribune, I think, or Tampa Bay Times this morning, comparing the state tax in Florida to the provincial tax up here. And the numbers that they calculated were as follows. $8.5 million in terms of real money down in Florida is the equivalent of $12.37 million up here in Ontario, which really speaks to how outrageous it is up here. Like, we get taxed. It's gross. But anyway, that's a different rant for a different day. But it also makes you wonder how this doesn't come up more in Board of Governor meetings. Like, how much of a benefit certain teams have over others when it comes to the cap.
What are they going to do? They can't change the tax laws.
No, I understand that. But you could change your own individual caps. I mean, I don't know how you could do it. I hear you. It's maybe this is pie in the sky. But if you're Toronto and you're competing with a player and Tampa or the Panthers are involved, you're sitting there saying, what the hell are we supposed to do? These guys can offer and save on the cap, but it's the same money, right? Like, that's like, think about that advantage. Yzerman's saying you make the exact same amount, only we get to save almost $4 million in cap space to spend on someone else. And the Maple Leafs are sitting there saying, what? How's that fair?
Well, and then Tampa could say, well, how come you guys get to sell your tickets right on the glass for $700 and we sell them for $170? Like, there's always an equality to it, right? In Tampa or in Toronto, they've got higher taxes. They also have higher revenues. They make more money in Toronto than they do in Tampa, for sure.
Very true.
You know, the tickets in Florida, I mean, I don't even know what they're paying for the upper bowl tickets there, but people are flying from Ontario to Florida to watch a game, buy four tickets, and it's still cheaper.
Ray, the Leafs are who we care about here, so I'm asking specifically from the Leafs' perspective with regard to Stamkos. How much of this is about long-term projection and math if they're truly interested in bringing him here? So they've drafted Austin Matthews. He'll be on an entry-level deal. 3 years from now, he'll come up RFA. He'll get some cake then and probably a long-term contract. And then you've got Riley expiring in 5 or 6 years when the contract he just signs comes up. How much of that has to match up in terms of length and term for Stamkos? Or does none of that matter because it's so far down the road and anything can happen to these players between now and then?
Oh, I think that's a really difficult balance that those guys have to try and make, isn't it? The guys making the decisions. Because it does matter. You can say, yeah, this is a problem for down the road. The problem is you do get down the road. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, wait a minute. We got this player that's going to need a huge raise in salary. What happens in a couple of years if so Matthews is out of his entry deal, Mitch Marner's out of his entry deal, and let's assume they have really pretty decent starts to their to their NHL career. You've got Riley. You've still got Kadri. You got $5 million tied up in your goaltender for the next 5 years in Frederik Andersen. You're going to need, if you're going to be a championship team, it's not going to be with this defense. So you're going to need to spend more money there. You've committed 10 or 11 or whatever the number is to Stamkos. It does become a problem. And I think it's really interesting to try and balance that in your own head. For me, if Stamkos is a 40-goal scorer, so let's say that that's what he is, and you got to pay him $11 million. Can you get two 20-goal scorers for $7 million total? And then you got $4 million to spend on a bunch of other guys or a couple other guys. It's not basketball. You know, where one guy just dominates the floor. It's something that I have a tough time getting my head around. I know you can't win with a superstar, or without a superstar, rather. But can you win if they chew up so much of the cap that you don't have enough guys around them?
You think Buffalo and Detroit are actually in this, or is it between Tampa Bay and Toronto?
I do think Detroit is in this. I do. I believe they have the cap space to make a run at it. They've had huge contracts there before. I can see them wanting to reinvigorate their team, where yes, they've made the playoffs for 25 years in a row, but they feel like they've, you know, a little bit of the gloss is off. I view Buffalo as further down the chain, even though they've got some really good young players. I don't know. That just doesn't seem to do it for me. I'm wrong, but it just doesn't seem to spark up for me.
I almost feel bad for Buffalo because they want to be involved in this so badly. Like, they are going out of their way to say, we'll pay you, we'll play you wherever you want, you're close to home, Tim Murray's out there, Terry Pegula's out there. And they've already been labeled by some as just simply a leverage maneuver for Stamkos, just like Babcock. You guys run the money up, and then I'll make Toronto match. And it's almost like Stamkos may end up doing the same thing. Well, Buffalo, they're offering this. That's why if I'm the Maple Leafs and I'm Lou, I'm putting my stake in the ground.
Yes.
I am putting my stake in the ground. If it gets to a point where they say you have to do a sign-and-trade, all right, sorry, not happening, see you later. I think Stamkos...
Don't forget.
If he wants to be here, he wants to be here, and I think the Leafs know that by now.
Yeah, don't forget, Lou also signed Ilya Kovalchuk to a $100 million contract.
Right, but very different. We know that the owner was pushing that. Now, maybe that's happening here. Who knows? But that was also a different era with the cap where you could sign guys to 15-year deals.
Doesn't that just sound ridiculous?
Crazy. Crazy.
It's going to be interesting, and I don't think he'll sign Friday, and I don't think he'll sign Saturday. They'll have some monkeying around to do once they get their first formal offers. And I'd like to be sitting in his seat, looking at those pieces of paper that are going to come across the table Friday morning.
So
instead, I'll be sitting next to O.
Yeah, well, you guys, I mean, there's some big names out there.
Ray, do you think he'll be up first? Like, he'll have it all decided, all done, and he'll be one of the first guys that we talk about on the panel?
He literally just said that's not going to be the case.
Oh, he
did?
He will be
the first guy we'll talk about. I will agree in that. He will be the first guy, and no, he will not sign first.
See, I think he will. I think he knows what he wants, and it'll be done right away. But
I will bet you dinner on that. Not in the cafeteria either.
I don't know. I was always of the belief.
Well, are you taking the bet?
I will, for sure.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure, because I know Hayes will come if there's dinner. Scotty, are you coming too?
I'm in, as long as I'm not paying.
I'm just getting the death stares because I wasn't paying attention while you were talking.
it's been well over a year. I'm well aware.
Yeah,
I could have let that one slide, but it was just so blatant. Like, Ray literally just said, I don't think he'll sign Friday or Saturday. And then you come in with, you think he'll be one of the first ones to sign on Friday? I was always of the belief.
How the hell did you get through the draft, though?
Well, actually, he was pretty good down there.
It was a challenge, though, with no trades.
Oh, yeah, boo.
Why no trades? Why do all these teams like their players so much, Ray? Do you have any explanation for that?
I don't, because I'm out here. I'm on the radio in Edmonton all the time, and they got to get a defenseman. Oh, we can't trade that guy. We can't. Well, you're in 30th place. What do you mean you can't trade that guy?
I love it.
Yes, you can. You can trade him because, well, you're in 30th place and you have no defense. Like that's the media that just everybody wants to make a deal, and that's the media's take, is that they want to get defenseman A for a second round pick and, two guys off the third line. That's just unrealistic. I don't know. Don't fall in love with your players. We were always told that when we were being traded around. We like you a lot, but we got to make this move.
Well, I think they're so fearful that they're going to get burned, that they're going to move on from Yakupov, and then all of a sudden he finally wakes up, and turns into a player, and they get nothing in return. Or they move on from Hall, and he goes somewhere else, and look what Justin Schultz just did with Pittsburgh, playing prominent minutes in a prominent role for a cup-winning team. But I don't know. I mean, I things are going to happen. Trades will happen at some point over the next few days, if not certainly over the next few months. But you look at what happened with Jim Benning, the GM of the Canucks, and him tampering on radio when we were down at the draft, and he was fined $50,000 today. I love this guy. I mean, I'm really starting to become a fan. I've goofed on him a few times in the past, but I think I'm a supporter now, and I liked his explanation, Ray. Like, again, maybe it's because I'm in the media, because I'm a fan, and I love rumors and I love trades. But when asked about why he said it or why he did it, Jim Benning said, quote, "Last week I was trying to be candid with our fans in media about our efforts to improve our team, but said too much." Like, how do we get to a point in the sport where you are ridiculed if you say anything?
Well, I don't quite understand. I mean, I guess I do understand the fine that you can't talk about other players while they're under contract to other teams. But the entire hockey world knew that PK Subban's deal was up on July 1st. And if there was ever a chance that he was going to be moved, it was going to be before July 1st. And the draft was the most likely time. So I don't understand what Benning said other than mentioning his name that was so offensive to the league that they had to fine him $50,000. So if he would have said, I would look at a 6'1", 205-pound defenseman that can skate and really shoot. If he were available, I'd try and make a deal. As long as he doesn't mention his name, is he okay? Like, it's silly.
Exactly.
How about Francesco Aquilini's got a stroke, a $50,000 check for that comment?
For Jim Benning. Going on the radio, too, and causing problems. He's probably not that happy.
Jim's buying dinner.
No kidding. Well, we'll see. I mean, again, we're tracking Stamkos and Lucic, and, again, there's a lot of big names out there. Eric Staal's out there, and Jimmy Vesey's still out there. But
Vesey can't go till if he doesn't sign by Friday at noon, he can't sign until August 15th. So he is, because of the college free agent thing, he can't sign before the middle of August, which is really pretty interesting to me. If you're one of those teams that are hanging out and you think you're in the sweepstakes for him, you got a hope and a prayer that you're going to be able to get him in the middle of August, because if you don't get him, everything else is gone, right?
No kidding.
By that time.
No kidding. Well, we'll see. And we'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you boys later.
All right, there he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. And again, TSN 1050's Free Agent Frenzy coverage is presented in part by Wrangler Cool Vantage Jeans. New Wrangler Premium Performance Cool Vantage Jeans. Be cool, stay cool with Wrangler Cool Vantage Jeans.
You never doze off and, like, just not catch different things?
I kind of feel bad now because I sewered you pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't help. It was just so outrageous.
Do we have it? We got to find it. How bad it is.
Okay, find that, Mullen. All right, you've got it? All right, let's play it.
It's going to be interesting, and I don't think he'll sign Friday, and I don't think he'll sign Saturday. you know, they'll have some monkeying around to do once they get their first formal offers. And boy, I'd like to be sitting in his seat.
Oof.
Looking at those pieces of paper that are going to come across the table Friday morning.
So
instead, I'll be sitting next to O.
Yeah, well, you guys, I mean, there's some big names out there.
Ray, do you think he'll be up first? Like, he'll have it all decided, all done, and you'll be one of the first guys that we talk about on the panel? That's ridiculous.
The best, though?
That's the most ridiculous thing you can ever ask a guy.
But the most important part of that, Doug, was the oof. Yeah. You gave it in the middle of his previous answer, which made it sound like you were listening.
I think you picked up halfway through. Like, you liked what he was saying about being in Stamkos's position because that kind of money sitting
in front of you. The other stuff I clearly did not hear.
Right. Well, the earphones go in and out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I was going. I was trying to save you, I think, but...
Who knows?
Who knows? Who cares? It happens, man.
Yeah, it's over
it happens.
With.
It's all good. All right, Dirk Hayhurst will join us.
Oh, we got to get out of this.
This has been a bad segment. I thought my mic was off. I coughed while Ray was talking.
You turned your mic on to cough.
I turned my mic on
which
to cough.
Which is the biggest rookie move.
Yeah, amateur hour. It happens.
And to think that I came in to replace Noodles for a day or two and here's try to learn from the very best.
Here's your cough into the mic.
Can you get to 20 goal scorers for $7 million total? And then you got $4 million to spend on a bunch of others?
What a loser.
That is such an amateur moment. That wasn't quite Lindy Ruff. I thought it was worse.
It was close.
It felt worse. All right, Dirk Hayhurst will join us. What do we do now with Drew Storen? What does John Gibbons do now with Drew Storen? And there was a website affiliated with ESPN who placed the percentages on how many teams are actually in the race to win the World Series. The way they broke it down, I believe there were 9 teams. The Blue Jays were included in those 9. We'll let you know the percentages when it comes to the Jays' chances of winning the World Series, according to ESPN. We'll touch on that more next. So Nate Silver is a math whiz, and he's got his own website, 538. It's affiliated with ESPN. And prior to yesterday's game, they calculated the odds, and they came up with 9 teams that actually have a chance at winning the World Series. And only 4 are in the – or sorry, 5 are in the American League. 5 are in the American League. Do you want to take a run on at which teams he would have in there?
Texas.
Texas is 1. 7%, according to him.
Kansas City.
Kansas City is not in there.
So Cleveland's in there.
Cleveland is in there at 13%. Cleveland, the runaway in the American League.
So then you've got
Toronto.
Toronto's in there at 5%.
Boston. Baltimore.
Boston and Baltimore both at 6%. So he's got the Indians at 13%, Texas at 7%, Baltimore and Boston at 6%, Toronto at 5%. On the National League side, he's got the Cubbies at 18%.
Giants?
Giants at 11%, Dodgers at 6%, Nationals at 6%.
No Mets?
No Mets, no Kansas City. The two teams that were in the World Series a year ago, according to this and these numbers, not included. Now, I'm not sure how much stock I would actually put into that because – Kansas City is still within striking distance. Houston is coming on strong, and they've got a really weak July schedule coming up.
Kansas City is actually ahead of the Jays in a wild card spot sitting here right now. Could change it tonight. But
so how can you not include them? And the Mets, the same thing. With that staff and that those possibilities and that kind of talent and the amount of time still left to be played here. But listen, the Blue Jays are still holding on for dear life, as they should be. They're still right in the mix.
I like how Cleveland's at 13% now and Toronto's at 5 and we took all of their executives. How's that work?
Yeah, how did this happen?
Cleveland's title town now, too.
Did they get credit, though, Shapiro and Atkins? They're probably getting credit in Cleveland for what's going
on. Maybe so.
Right? I said this to Matt Kaas 2 weeks ago, Bri. The hot take in October, if it's Jays Cleveland, who are Shapiro and Atkins cheering for? The team they built or the team they inherited?
Let's bring in Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst, and this Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Go ahead and answer that, Dirk. ALCS, Tribe Jays, who are Shapiro and Atkins actually rooting for?
Well, they're of course rooting for the Blue Jays, but they're also so happy to be credited for the success of the Indians. You know, I mean, after all, it really was their genius that planted the seeds that are now yielding such a tremendous Indians program. So, yeah, and if they sucked, they would have said, see, that's why you left. They're terrible, and that's why we got the hell out. So, you know, this is a good situation to be in because you can take the success and deny all the liability. So, yeah, I mean, I would take all the credit. Why not?
So would I. I mean, at the very least, it makes you feel a bit better, right? Like the stink of Cleveland is a bad, that's a bad stench. LeBron and the Cavs notwithstanding. But there were a lot of people that were sensitive to the idea that the Indians were taking over the Blue Jays. Well, now you look at what's going on with the Tribe. I mean, Jays fans, I think, should pay some attention to that, shouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jays fans, guess what? In like 10 years, when this current establishment leaves, you'll be good. There's something fun to think about. Yeah, I'm surprised that Shapiro isn't taking credit for the Cavs victory, too, come to think about it. I would probably do that as well.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I mean, I think that they have the right idea in place here. I think that you're just not going to see the results immediately, and that's what's hard to swallow because this is a Jays fan base who wants to see more of what they saw last season. And when you have an establishment come in and say, well, I mean, that was cool that you guys went to the postseason. We would never do it that way. Don't look at us to try and make that happen again. So, yeah, you're going to be a little bit frustrated with the fact that the Indians, who were not picked to be doing as well as they are actually doing better than the Blue Jays. So, whoops.
Well, one piece they did not inherit would be Drew Storen. They went out and got him. They traded Ben Revere for Drew Storen. Now, what people don't bring up when they're yelling and screaming about this trade is that Michael Saunders has been great for them, and he was always going to play left field, and Pillar was always going to play center, and Bautista would play right. So Revere was going to be a utility guy anyway. So I supported the trade at the time. I still do, even though Storen has been an absolute gas can. But what's the next step where he's so unreliable, he's pitching so horribly? I mean, what do they do here with Drew Storen?
Well, that's the interesting thing, right? So, I mean, his last 14 innings before last night, what, 3 runs in 14 innings, it looked like he was finally going to stabilize. And then you see him last night, it was almost as if he was trying to start a brawl. I mean, some of those pitches, I'm amazed they didn't go over the backstop is how wild he was at that point. It was just like, what the hell happened? Completely losing control, hitting guys in the shoulder, throwing balls in the dirt. Like, where did that stuff come from? See, that's the stuff that worries me. I think that's the stuff that worries everybody. I mean, if you're John Gibbons and you're like, okay, so my guy is around the zone, but he's just low, and he keeps missing, and he puts some guys on. That's something that you're like, well, at least he's in the right part of the wrong part of the zone, right? He's down. But when you're in somebody's shoulder blades, or in the dirt, like 3 feet short of the plate, what the hell do you do to fix that? I mean, that's the kind of thing that you expect to see in T-ball. So anytime that you are relying on someone like Storen to be a linchpin of stability for your bullpen, and he's going out there and throwing stuff all over creation, that's a big issue. And there really is no one that the Blue Jays can rely on to be stable other than Osuna at this point. So this is just more of the same. I'm not going to beat up the issue because we all know that the Blue Jays' weakest link is their bullpen right now. But, hey, guess what? You know who else is trying to be a really weak link? The starting rotation. It's like it's destined to be a failure on its own right. Like, the Blue Jays have set it on a collision course with disaster. Like, they're going to put Aaron Sanchez as one of its most stable arms into the bullpen. And that's not going to stabilize really anything, especially if they're putting him out there and they know that they're doing that because they want to limit his innings, which means that you're not going to see him in every high leverage situation, which is going to be just about every one of them because you don't have anybody else besides Osuna. So that's going to open up a hole in that rotation that Drew Hutchison is supposed to fill. Good luck with that. Last year he gave up 6.5 runs per game. Runs per game, 6.5. That was one of the worst that you could have in baseball. He still had a winning record because his team was so good. And now Marcus Stroman looks like an absolute liability, and we're talking about demoting him so he can figure it out. Who's going to fill that spot? So, like, if you're saying that the bullpen's going to get stronger, or it supposedly needs to get stronger, and you're going to do that by diminishing the rotation, Well, now you're going to make two things weak. Both the bullpen and the starting rotation are going to get significantly weaker here in the future if the Blue Jays fans, or if the Blue Jays management does what they've been threatening to do. So if you are a Blue Jays fan, you should be terrified about what's on the horizon.
Dirk, I had a conversation about a week and a half ago about the bullpen with somebody in the organization, and they gave me two names. And this was specifically about the left-handed situation, because Cecil's been hurt, and he's not your prototypical left-hander. He doesn't have the sweeping, breaking stuff and the 95-mile-an-hour fastball. I was given two names, Tim Mayza and Matt Dermody. And I think the blank look on my face asked the follow-up question, which was, well, who the heck are they? They're two kids, both at AA right now, reasonably recent draft picks of this team, and they are being talked about as potential solutions to the left-handed issue in the bullpen. I mean, is that actually a route the Blue Jays can go down, or is this the time of year when names start to get floated in the ether out there because this team is going to look to start to package some prospects? I know Shapiro and Atkins don't want to do it, but this team is going to look to package some prospects to try to address an issue or two, and maybe those names are the types that could get thrown in.
Well, okay, so there has been precedence before where the Blue Jays have taken guys from AA and put them right to big leagues. I think the Blue Jays, especially under the Anthopoulos years, looked at their talent pool more in the AA area more than the AAA area. For whatever reason, they just felt more comfortable calling up prospects from AA and skipping AAA altogether, which I was always against, because I feel like AAA teaches you some invaluable skills. Notably, you get to face veteran hitters who have veteran approaches, which does yield dividends for you once you get to the big league. But if you're the Blue Jays right now and you're thinking about, we have a limited prospect pool that's really known by other organizations out there, the best way that we can take some of these guys and put them on the radar of other teams is to bring them up into the big leagues in limited samples so that they can have small successes and then get shopped around to all the other teams that are out there hunting for potential impact players or other prospects that might help them out in the future. So it's not a bad idea to raise like a PR initiative and advertise what you may or may not have if you can just shield it correctly at the big league level. So if these guys come up, and if this is, you know, these rumors, these alleged rumors of bringing these youngsters up is true and they have success, well, then you milk that as much as you can. And then when they start to stumble, you demote them and maybe you rope them into a package for somebody who's more legit and established. So this isn't a bad routine. I don't know much about these guys. I mean, you were saying their names, and you said you had a blank stare, and I'm hearing their names. I'm like, who the hell are these guys? You know, I want to, like, run to Wikipedia right now. But it's not a bad tactic, and other teams do this, especially teams that are short on really well-known names and well-known commodities.
Good stuff, Dirk. Enjoy the week. We'll do it again early next week.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Dirk Ayrest, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst, and this Baseball Insider was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, conveniently located at the QEW in Trafalgar Road in Oakville.
Twitter's a buzz right now, Bri. Clayton Kershaw's flying back to L.A. Back problems. Going to be looked at by docs.
That would change the percentage, I would think, the likelihood of L.A. winning
the
World Series.
Lit up the other night by Pittsburgh, didn't
on the
huh?
Sunday night game, yeah. And well, he's, like, one of the best ever. That's the only reason I bring it up. Huge story, because this guy's amazing.
Look what's going on with Noah Syndergaard, too. Concerns that he's got elbow problems.
You mean to tell me you can't throw 101, 72 times every 5 days
no
and
kidding.
Get away with it?
No kidding. Those are two big arms. We'll see. All right, so Bob McKenzie will join us at 6:20. We got to get back into the British commentator who was actually watching England give up that second goal on live TV and the rather inappropriate audio that came out of it. You want to play it right now? We'll play it in the next hour.
Okay.
All right? We still got to hit the best bets brought to you by Proline, get to the three stars later in the afternoon. Stamkos watch is officially on. Lucic watch is officially on. Jay's back in action tonight. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
That's why I need a one dance. Got a Hennessy in my hand. One more time before I go. Higher powers taking a hold on me. I need a one dance. Got a Hennessy in my hand. One more time before I go. Higher powers taking a hold on me.
Bob McKenzie will join us at 6:20 in the final hour. Get an update on Stamkos, Lucic, other big names that are out there. I mean, UFAs, they can talk with any team they want. They can't sign until Friday. We'll see what happens come Friday. Free agent frenzy all day on TV. Oh, you're going to be over there?
It's a long one. It's a busy day.
What time do you guys start?
8 a.m.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
How do you keep fed? Do you graze in commercial breaks? How do you do that?
Yes. That's exactly what you have. No other option.
Grazing is a high priority. I've seen it before. Like, I've been over there for half an hour, and people just graze and graze. They usually supply pretty good food, though.
Yep.
You have to give them credit. TSN 1050's Free Agent Frenzy coverage is presented in part by Olfa, the best-made cutting tools in the world. Get the Olfa Edge. All right, Steve McLaren, former manager of the English team, was on live TV yesterday while the game was ongoing. So he was on, like, a competitive network. I think he was on Sky Sports. I guess the Euros is on, like, BBC over there. And for whatever reason, they had this guy coming in and talking about the game while it's ongoing. Like, who's watching that, not actually watching the game?
It does seem kind of pointless when you're updating a game that's actually playing.
Totally pointless. Like, it just, I don't get it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway,
he was choked.
He was choked because he was pumping the tires of England, and the way they responded to Iceland tying the game up, England came out guns a-blazing. They went up 1-0. Iceland quickly tied it up. But according to Steve McLaren, it was all good. It was all good until it was not all good.
It's been the perfect response. You'd think that no problem, start again, keep dominating, keep getting pressure on the Iceland back four. The only thing that they have got is the big boy up front, Sigurdsson, who really, Sigþórsson.
Oh, my word.
Oh.
I love
he
this.
Is choked up about that play.
Oh, my word.
That's like he knows they're going to lose. Like, that was in the first half, I believe.
The sounds of defeat.
Oh, my word.
What does it say about soccer when you give up one goal, you're down 2-1, and you're like, oh, we're done. It's over.
Oh, my word.
It's a left-wing lock.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there a massive game and there wasn't any attempts on goal? Portugal?
Yeah, the Portugal game.
Croatia?
There were so many penalties called, and they both got down, I believe, to 10 men. It was ugly.
Not one attempt.
Right. Yet, like 100 million people around the world are watching intently, loving every second of it.
Very quickly, Matt Kochulak on Twitter is driving around with an Iceland flag on the driver's side backseat window and wants to know where he can watch the Iceland game on Sunday.
I don't think there's a bar in this city that supports it. Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, my word.
Exactly. That's right. Bobby Mack in about 25 minutes.